and got to thinking. You know, I started out, I had a little kind of a sermon thing that I was going to do, and God just changed the whole thing into a Bible study. So you guys, I hope you're ready to take notes. And just God works that way. And this happened just a day ago. He says, I don't think that's what we're doing. We're gonna do this, and we're going to do it a little differently. And I just thank God for what he does. And this has been on my heart for a while. The people we brought up from Las Lunas are going to recognize a lot of this because it's so important to our overcoming. And I want to read you a few scriptures here. I'm going to read you out of Mark chapter 13. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You know, and I know we go through this and we know that the church is asleep. Scripture tells us that the church is asleep. And when he talks about sleeping here, I'm going to tell you that it is. It's spiritual indifference. And this is what the age that we live in, too. We live in this Laodicean age to where people just don't care. What did Jesus tell the church? He says that you're rich and have need of nothing. When he says you have need of nothing, you know what he's talking about? God. That this age, this liberal culture, that the world and the church have grown to a point where we have lights, we have air conditioners, we have mics. We don't have to yell, even though it sounds like I yell. And everything that we have is at the touch of a hand, at a fingertip. Our refrigerator keeps our food. The grocery store is right down the street. There's a convenience store everywhere we look. And it's turned into the, and the whole world has turned to the fact that nothing matters anymore. The message in the majority of the church today is there is no message. Do not slumber. What does Ephesians say? Awake, awakest thou that sleepest, right? Awake. This is what he's talking about to this message. And I'm going to tell you, and this is what's been on my heart so much, is there's two natures in us, right? There's that flesh and then that new creation that's Jesus Christ. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, right? It's the key to overcoming, understanding this. It's the key to growing spiritually. It's the key to finishing this race course is knowing that it's Christ in you, that this old flesh is dead. God reckons it all dead, right? So I want to talk about Jacob and Esau today, and it's been on my heart, and as my people will attest to you, Jesus' people from Las Lunas will attest to you that it's been on my heart a lot, because we struggle. Every one of us does. If we're not struggling, we're not growing. We've got a world that everywhere around us is evil and wickedness, and we fight this battle. Why in the world would God give you armor if it wasn't a war? If it's not a battle, right? Let's turn to open our Bibles to Genesis 25. There's two creations depicted here in Jacob and Esau, and two distinct lines of the human race, two different heads. Adam being the head of the natural, right? Jesus being the head of the spiritual. And we're going to see how one replaces the other in our lives as Christians. And I forgot how dry Colorado was. both of them born by birth. In the natural, we all came by woman. You know, that sin came by woman. Redemption came by woman. Our natural birth by woman. In our spiritual birth, our spiritual birth by the Holy Spirit, by God, right? A new creation is Christ that liveth in us. And as we start come to realize and can identify with that old nature, with that old flesh, and we can start to identify that and see the difference, we can start separating. All of a sudden, we become of some real use to God, right? All of a sudden that we see in us a life that doesn't sin. We see a life in us that in Christ that can't sin. And we see a life, and when we see on the other hand, we see a flesh in us that can only sin. That's a flesh that cannot be perfected, a flesh that will never be perfected, a flesh that can never be spiritual. as much as we try. You know where we get hung up all the time? We're trying to perfect the wrong one. We're trying to fix this flesh. We're trying to present it to God as acceptable, right? God reckons it as dead. We have got to get over the fact that this thing, we can try as hard as we can to resuscitate it. It's not coming back to life. This flesh, that old man died on the cross. That new man that's in you, that new man that's Jesus Christ in you, is what God's working on. Genesis 25, verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban of the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Entreated is to burn incense. It's to come with a need. It's to pray. And in God's case here, it's to hear the prayer, right? Barrenness we see in Sarah, Rachel, Rebekah. It's a type of fruitlessness of the old creation. That the old creation isn't going to have anything and come up with anything that's going to please God. That's going to be born of God. It's born natural. If we turn to 1 Corinthians, it'll tell us that it's the earth of the earth, earthy, right? And that the new one is of the Lord above. And the children struggled within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." This is different in a lot of the way we grow up naturally, because in the natural, we obey the elder, right? And my wife's considerably younger than I am, and I've come to find out that the elder will serve the younger. So, so it's a godly home. So let's talk about the birth for a second. And I'm going to bomb you with scripture here for a little bit, because this is where I'm going with this and what I want to get out of this. We're born natural because we've accepted the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are born again. It's that new birth. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know that if you could not live the life. The only life that ever satisfied God being lived with Jesus Christ. So you couldn't, but just if you could. Do you know that you still wouldn't go to heaven? You have to be born of the Spirit. We have to be born of the Spirit. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit," right? In 1 Corinthians, we see this other nature in us, this flesh, this life. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 50 says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are the earth. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." If flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, why do we spend so much time trying to make it holy in front of everybody else? Why do we spend so much time to perfect it? Because we haven't identified yet fully with what that nature is, with that flesh. We have to take the new, we have to realize the life that God's working on, the life that God's perfecting in this new life, in this new creation, grows, right? I pray, I've come to pray more and more that the new creation, that this new life in me, Christ, the Holy Spirit, runs my life. And I yield and I try to submit, right? But we go through this. Every one of us, unless it's just me, which is possible, that we wonder, why did I just think what I thought? How could that possibly have come into my mind? And they're the most evil, wicked things you can think of. It didn't come from God. We are influenced daily. I feel so sorry for these kids, and we were talking about with this what just happened, but we're okay. You know, people are okay. We get our kids have these video games that do nothing but teach you to aim. We have video games that do nothing but think that no matter who you shoot, they're going to get up later. And we wonder if us, and I'm talking even for me, it was 50 right now, and these, I never had those things, but these wicked thoughts enter my head, these things that come into my head, that these influences, this flesh that wants to take over, this flesh that wants to rule, this flesh that wants to run my life, that wants to run over that new creation, that doesn't want to serve the younger, right? If those things are coming into my mind, how much more are these young guys? These poor kids, with the things that they suffer through, the things that they go through, the things that they have to see, witness, hear. Remember we talked about last year a little bit about Lot's kids. They never grew up with God. They never heard about God. They never saw their father build an altar. They never saw their father pray. And they look at him and wonder, how could they have done the evil things they did with their father after? They didn't know any better. It's terrible. This flesh doesn't want to yield. This flesh doesn't want to give up. This flesh wants to fight. And if we think about this, and no matter whatever age we were saved or brought to the Lord or accepted Jesus Christ or any of this, if it was 30, that means you had 30 years of practice in the flesh. And you're just starting in the spirit? There is a lot of overcoming. This is the thing about overcoming. There would be no overcoming if there wasn't two natures. There's got to be something to overcome, right? So until we can identify the two, until we can see the two, until we can, and I'm going to get to here in a second that I actually named mine, so I can actually talk to him. I called him Red. I'm going to get to that in a second, but not because of Esau, because I had a guy, and I don't want to pick on him, but I mean, we have a guy that works for us, and his name is Red. And it seemed like every single conversation we had, Red, I don't know what you're thinking, buddy. Red, what in the world are you doing? Red, why are you sleeping? That's where my name came from. He's a good guy, and he's a Christian, but boy, I'll tell you, he takes a lot of talking to. My old nature, my flesh, takes a lot of talking to. It takes a lot of identifying, and we have to be so careful, and when we talk about this, that the old flesh, that old nature in us, doesn't break the yoke of the new one. Because that new one is the younger. The elder is to serve the younger, right? Paul's gospel depicts these two creations throughout. I wrote down a bunch of scripture, and I could have just given you Paul's whole gospel, because that's what it's about. It's about separation. It's a gospel of inheritance. And how do we get that inheritance? A new creation grows, brothers and sisters. We have got to mature spiritually. We have to lay hold of that prize and not let go. I'll say it over and over again. That crown is yours, right? That crown belongs to you. It's already in one hand. Don't let it go. Hold fast what thou hast, right? That flesh wants that favor. That flesh wants that, but that flesh is never going to get it. That flesh is never going to be perfected before God, and God's never going to see it that way. Write down Galatians 5:17. You know, I was thinking too this morning when we were talking, Jesse and I were talking earlier, and I, you know, going back through all this, and I'll read you the scripture here in a second, but going through this, you know what, it's important for us to understand, you know, in God's purpose and what God's creation is, that even with Adam was never lonely in the garden. He had God. You know, we did a thing, and I'll get off track here because I'll just get excited. But you know, this world we live in, and this conceited, overbearing we become so wise, and we look back at Adam and think he must have just gurgled out the names of them, right? He must have been so primitive and so weak that he just, it's amazing that he could even get that done. You know what? He was made to fellowship with God. He was created mature. He was created perfect. He was created beautiful. I had a vision one day from, during service, and the naming of the animals. And if you just imagine when he saw that horse, and he would have reached up, put his hand there and said, "Beautiful. You're majestic. You'll carry us," right? The acuity, the awareness that he must have had and lost. And for us to lose what God has for us, the loss. Now, I'm not talking salvation. You guys know better than that. I'm talking inheritance. To wake up, to be there with them, and see what could have been. I can't imagine what kind of loss that would be. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." They are so contrary. You could try and mix oil and water all day. It ain't going to mix. If you think about this, and we're going to talk, these two natures are at war within us. We see this in Rebecca. Rebecca, and she was so wise, so smart. What'd she do? She called on God and asked him, "I don't know what's wrong with me." If we take the example of that, what she did, and when these things happen to us, what should we do? Entreat the Lord. Talk to God. "God, I'm sorry." Repent. And ask God, why does this happen in my heart? If I could just get rid of the apologies to God for the evil thoughts that I had, every day would be so much better. You drive down the road and someone cuts you off and you go, "What are you doing?" Or someone at the grocery store, right? When we got in the airport yesterday, and this poor guy and I did pretty good. I sat there. He butted through everybody in the line, the TSA line. He got all the way to the front, and he's pulling off his shoes like this, and he's trying to get through there, and he's pushing, and the TSA guy is obviously getting a little upset with him. But on the other side, we didn't know. He ran all the way to that plane and didn't make it. We don't know what's going on with these people. Why in the world do we pass judgment? Why in the world do we get so upset sometimes that we had a guy, I was taking a guy one time, one of our guys that had been covered with hot asphalt, the oil, and we were flying to the hospital. Had him in there, and we were on the way down, and then had two cop cars come up next to me. And they must have been thinking we robbed something or whatever was going through their thought, but when he rolled down the window and he saw the guy covered in oil, he says he got in front of us. And until we know what's going on, we can't let the flesh rule our life. We can't let the flesh make the decision for us. We can't let the flesh pass judgment on something that it wants to, because that's all it wants to do. Colossians 3:3. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ." You know that? Dead. Your life, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that what? Liveth in me. It's the key. God reckons his whole human race as dead. Your old man died on the cross. We just talked about two creations, right? We just talked about the old man and the new man. That new man, the old man, died on the cross. The new man, that is Christ that liveth in you, right? Two natures, he said, two manner of people. And this also, right? Romans 7:19. We all know this chapter. I always like it this. I call it, and you guys have heard me say this before, I call it 100 steps, this race course, right? Step one, salvation. Step 100, the bridegroom, right? Overcoming, finishing that course. God doesn't give you five extra steps in there because you were good on Sunday and stayed for the whole thing, or the Saturday for the whole message. You stayed all day for this thing. You got an extra couple steps. He wants you to take every step. He wants you to experience every step. Your Lord experienced every step to the ninth degree, right? I always say this, you can't get from Romans 6 to Romans 8 without going through 7. That good that I would do, I do not. The thing that I hate, I do. This is the Apostle Paul. Paul tells, I take such comfort in this. Because sometimes we get, as much as we think that the world and looks back and think that Adam was primitive, everyone thinks, well, Paul was the holiest guy that ever walked on the earth. He struggled just like us. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that I can look at that chapter and see that he fought the flesh. I can tell you, he did a really good job at it. and a better job at this point in my life than I do. He withstood it. What's Ephesians tell us? Stand. Withstand. To stand. Right? Against the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil, the works of the devil. He organizes. You know, if the church, it's the saddest thing in the world, if the church was as organized as those guys were, there would be unity. They have one common goal: keep you from finishing that race course. Keep you from the Lord. And the flesh that gets in the way of the church today keeps us from seeing the riches in that Bible, the riches in God's Word, Jesus Christ in every single verse. It's the craziest thing ever. I'd say this. If I could tell you, if I said that I left $10 million in the gym, or that I put in the back parking lot, $10 million was buried back there, and I needed help finding it, this church would be packed with shovels, right? Everybody ready to go look. But you could say that all the riches of God, beyond comprehension, are right here. And you know where this thing sits? On a shelf. Gathering dust, right? I got one of those Bibles. We had a kid, I tell you, I like this. Thinking back when I grew up, we had this big, giant Bible in our house. And it was on one of those little angled stands, and it sat there forever. Probably still sitting there. It never got opened. I had no clue what was in that thing. It was art. It wasn't a Bible to us. It wasn't a Bible to my folks. I tell my mom all the time, we try and talk about the Lord, and she always tells me the same thing. Honey, you know I went to Catholic school. I know, Mom. Can you just read this? Can you just look at this with me? She says, I would read the Bible, except it's too heavy. So she tells me. I bought her one with parchment paper. Didn't weigh nothing. It still sits there. There's nobody better placed than you and your family to take this message. We get saddened, right? We get hurt because they refuse it. We get hurt because they look at us like, are you nuts? They want you to have a little God, but not that much God. They want you to have a little Jesus, but not that much Jesus. Don't bring it home. Have fun on Sundays. Rebecca inquired of the Lord as to what her trouble was. If we can do that, if we can do that and start to see and identify with that old nature, that flesh in us, and know who we're separating from, know who we've got to get away from, know, truly know, when he talks about separation, what that means. How do we separate that? How do we get away with this? It's just one choice, one decision more every day. If you make one good decision a week, maybe next week it's two and three. And pretty soon those steps look like this. He never said it was going to be easy. He never said it was going to be flat. He never said it's going to be like climbing over these pews and then climbing to that window and then off the other side. But he wants us to travel straight to it. He wants to do like Rebecca did and get on those camels and with Eliezer and go straight there. I will go. Right? Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Your flesh isn't going to please God. The problem we run into everywhere today is we're told that it can. This is what gets preached. Self-righteousness, right? You better do something. God's going to take that away from you. They take salvation and put it on the end of a pole and like God's dangling it in front of you. Or I tell our guys like this. Like he's going to stomp you out of existence. He loves you. Right? He said, you're sitting there like this. This is how you should reach for him. Put your hands up in the air and say, Father, help me. Right? Pick me up. You know what it'll do? How many of you have kids and grandkids? When those little kids go like this, you can't help but pick them up. Oh, come here. Right? I remember I could pick Michael up. I can't pick him up anymore. Your two natures don't even act alike. I made notes, and this is why I can relate to all this so well, because I'm so good at all this stuff because my flesh has got, I've got so far to go, and my flesh is in the way all the time. It's sad when you can talk and preach about Abraham and Lot, and Lot's the one you relate to. You know what? Abraham embraced the promises of God as if they were already his. That's what you're supposed to do. It's already yours. That crown's yours. You get on that throne. I tried that. Chair is kind of comfortable. Tie yourself to it. Don't let him take it away from you. Don't let Satan, don't let the enemy come between you and what's yours already. These natures act and talk differently. Their conversations are completely opposite of each other. One will talk for 1 hour, another for another hour. We finished a sermon and a friend of mine came to the house that night. I forget we were, I don't know, I remember what, the whole family, a bunch of them all came over and we were sitting there talking and we talked for an hour about God. That's why I made it an hour here. We talked about an hour about God and this, and that conversation flipped like that. All of a sudden, we're sitting there and we're talking about something completely different. Who knows what it was? We were talking. It might have been a game. It might have been the kids. It might have been the sports. You know, we're gonna get them. You know, we're gonna. And I think it was the kids because his kids were in basketball. We're gonna go win this game, right? And but the conversation, you could have put a razor sharp dividing line right there. Is how it changed, and how different it completely was. All we got to do is say, you know what we were just talking about with God. I say all the time, we're like the five people we hang out with the most. We need to put the odds in our favor. We need to make three of those saints. We need to make three of those that will have a conversation that, you know what's beautiful about all us being together and about saints and like the like-mindedness and the excitement, especially about this grace, the grace message, this inheritance. There's so much to talk about. You know, I've been to Bible studies with friends. We go, and I remember with my wife, you know, I thought that this, I remember that we went to this Bible study, it was Philippians. I thought, but this is my chance to tell my buddy, this is one of my good friends, my chance to tell him what it's all about, to see, and wrote Philippians 3. Oh, we get to Philippians 3, right? And I thought that whole Bible study was going to be about me, and it was about her. About her seeing that this thing, one of the questions in it was, how good a friend would Paul have been? Well, I can tell you, the old Paul, the old Saul, I'm not so sure. The new Paul, it accounted with him for everything. But there was no spiritual growth in the question. There was nothing. And it was question after question after question like this. And she saw all of a sudden that she wanted depth. She wanted truth. She wanted grace, right? Romans 9, 11 through 13. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. When you read in Ephesians, And we talk about it, and people get this, and we get so much of the church get this wrong. Predestination, right? Calvinists think it's God already picked who was going to be saved and who was going to die. So they go like this, and they don't have any. We don't have chairs. We have pews in here. So if you just say, so this pew here, saved, that pew not, saved, not, saved, not, and you better hope back there you're sitting in the right pew. Predestination was that God knew that the old man would need a redeemer, that the new man was destined to live, that in Christ that we would live. We have to see the magnitude of what God has done, the beautiful plan that he had, and the purpose, right? Building a bride for his son. Adam wasn't lonely. Jesus wasn't lonely in those heavens, but God saw fit. A helpmate should be made fit for him. And just like we were talking a little bit this morning, and this is one of my favorite stories, and you guys, I think we're on it right now with Joseph and Asenath, that name, they will hate me. Presented to him. All these, Adam, Eve presented. A rib coming out of that body. A rib company coming out of this church. Presented to him. For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Oh, he can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day. Because I'm going to tell you this. One thing I'm going to stand on is that he said that crown's already mine. I'm not letting that thing go. And he said he would complete that work in me. I stand on that. I get so excited and we get so worked up and we get so ready And I just want him. I want it. I want him. I want that, you know, to see it. And I love this, thinking about this. That elder that walked John around and he falls down and worships. Stand up, brother. I'm you. I'm one of you. Genesis 25, we're at verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. This is important for us to understand. We can understand and know that there's two natures in us. But we need to identify. We need to identify that nature. We need to identify and see him in us. And see that where we know that this is the guy I don't want to be like. This is the guy I'm not going to feed, right? This is the trouble we hit with at this. We handle him with kid gloves. Put him in the corner. Maybe he'll just be quiet. Instead of separation, what we do is try and work him. This is the thing. This is like sending us over to North Korea, hoping that we could hug it out with that guy. He doesn't want to hug. The ISIS doesn't want to hug it out. The Taliban doesn't want to hug it out. The old nature in you, that flesh doesn't want to hug it out. It wants to win. He wants to take over. He wants to break the yoke of the younger, right? He's a robber. He's a thief. He's everything that's bad in you. That's where the thoughts come from. That's how it gets to us. That's how we're sitting there going, in the middle of the day, looking at someone that we love or whatever it is, wondering, where in the world did that thought just come from? Designate him as such. I want every single one of you. Give him a name. Red's taken. Got to come up with another one. That which is flesh is flesh. It will never be spiritual. Get over it. Quit trying to fix him. No more CPR on this guy. No more resuscitating. He can't bear spiritual fruit because he's not spiritual. It's not for the new man to serve the old man, but the old man is to serve the new man. So I want you to think about this for a second. The new man lives in the old man's house, but now he rules, right? I got to thinking I could make this whole big list of all this stuff because the new man wants to go to church. The old man has to drive him. The new man wants to be in church, and the old man wants to be on the couch. The new man is now the ruler of the household. And as long and what we have to do is we have to remember and get in our head that the new man, and if you think about this, you stop and think about the decisions you've made in the past, that new man's decision always, when you can stand on that decision, his decisions always stand. We're going to church. We're going to Bible study. We're going to convention, right? Today I pick up my Bible. Who has to pick up the Bible? That old Nate, that old flesh, he's got to pick the Bible up. That flesh has got to take this up and say, I'm going to open up to this chapter right here. I'm going to read in the book of John. And he's like, come on, the football game's on, right? It's Sunday. We were laughing about that last week because whenever it's Super Bowl, and I've been kind of mad at the NFL for a while, but this whole anthem thing, so I have not watched anything this year. But we were in church that day, and I mean, the whole place was full. Super Bowl Sunday, right? And just thank God, because that for a lot of people, we have some guys that are big NFL fans. That was a big decision, right? The flesh did not make the decision for them. The new man did. Let's go to church. The flesh seems stronger, but the new man has come from an almighty God. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. We all know this, right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Every single day, we just have to make better decisions. Every single day, us young guys, well, not me now anymore, but you young guys, I'm not the oldest one here, I know that. I remember when I was the youngest one. For our families, for our wives, for our kids, for the saints, that the Holy Spirit sheds love abroad. And we have to see that. We have to know and let, we just have to let that new creation, that life, make the decisions for us. What would Jesus do, right? what's the right thing to do in this case? God's working, God's perfecting, God's going to complete that person. And as long as we don't let the world take that away, let no man take thy crown. This is the key. It's the opportunity for overcoming. To know that it's Christ that lives in you. That Christ is the life in me. God put us in these old vessels for a reason. Why? To fight that good fight of faith. Because if it wasn't for the two natures, there wouldn't be anything to overcome. To fight the good fight of faith. From step 1 to step 100. I'm going to make every step of that. And I'm just going to keep stepping. I'm just going to keep walking. I'm just going to keep my eyes on him. Are we going to make bad decisions? Daily. Are we going to have bad thoughts? Daily. But I'll tell you, I see the saints and I'm so comforted. I'm so comforted. You know, we just lost Brother Fred down there and it was one of the most peaceful things I've ever seen in my life. Happy. I'm ready. And I see it in the saints. I see it, you know, in our older saints, this peace of God. It's just indescribable. This love of the saints. And I love you guys, too. I love you guys so much. I tell our people all the time, the most beautiful saints ever. All just excited and wanting to grow and wanting to come to him and wanting to know him and wanting to study. We did the same thing on Valentine's Day just now. I asked him the week before. I said, you know, it's Valentine's Day. Does everybody plan on going someplace or we want to have a Bible study? Everyone voted Bible study. And everyone showed up. I had bets. This is another thing to understand about this. When we've come to identify the two natures, when we identify that new life in you is Christ, and that flesh isn't going to do anything for God. That flesh is not going to do anything for you. That flesh is going to gain you nothing spiritually. We can become of some use to God. All of a sudden, he says, I got work for you. We know that, right? He says, for the work is foreordained that the works we should walk in. All you got to do is walk. You don't have to look. We see people all the time like this. I know there's something good for me to do in there, right? All you got to do is walk. God's got them for you. We have a beautiful saint, our brother James down there right now, and he's learning, he's on fire, and he's just growing in the Lord, and he just got a big chance to witness, and he's been talking to this guy over and over, and he says, I don't even know how it happened, man. This guy just asked me. So it says right here. God has it foreordained. It had it before you, right? When Esau, we'll see how far we get this. When Esau has dominion, he'll break the yoke. And we can go back and study this. Well, I'm not going to go down this road right now because there's a whole other study what we're going to talk about. But dispensationally, the times and the nations where Esau does break the yoke of Jacob. If you allow that flesh, if you allow those choices, if you feed that flesh long enough, sooner or later, it will break the yoke and no longer serve the younger. It'll be the other way around. He'll be making all the decisions. I'm telling you, when you've tasted of this heavenly gift, when you've heard of this grace of God, when you've heard of this bridal truth, I'm telling you, then the fight's on. He doesn't want you in here. He doesn't want you to hear this. He doesn't want you to finish this course. And I'm talking the enemy, right? He says, he's telling you right now, there's things to do today. The weather's nice. You should be outside. You should be here, right? Spending time with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17, write that down. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that a comforting thing? Old things are passed away. Praise God for that statement. I just thank God that and you know what you have to do? You have to just come to realize that old things have passed away. That flesh doesn't mean nothing. I was laughing at Jesse last night because he had his phone in his pocket and we were looking for something. We had the little light on. And he put the phone back in his pocket like that, and the little light was still on. I said, brother, I said, that light in you becomes so bright that that earthen vessel can't contain it anymore. If all of it was to melt away, there'd be this beautiful light, this life, God's light, right? You are children of the light, children of light. We thank God all the time. You know, we praise him for how much he loves us. We praise him for how much he cares for us and his mercy. But how much do we praise him for how he sees us? He sees you as holy and righteous. You're light. You're child. Holy and righteous. Just grow. Grow, saints, right? And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Jacob was 80 years old when she bare them. And Isaac, I'm sorry. Jacob means, the name means supplanter. We see this a little later in Scripture. And it means to replace. It means to take the place of another. And Jacob, with that hand on that heel, took that place, right? Jesus. God saw what was going on. God saw that man was going to need a redeemer. That second man, Adam, to take the place of the first man. God saw that we would need a redeemer. God saw that we would never do it on our own. He saw the fall. He saw the need. And he saw that company of saints that would become so imbued with the word of God, so imbued with his son, that they would be worthy of being in the bridehood of the Lamb. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing to think, you know, that God could have just said, I created you a wife. She's perfect. She's going to love you. And she would have. She would have just been perfect in love, right? No, nothing else. But to choose love, precious and beautiful is God's plan? How wise was it for God to say, she will pick you? She will, that bride will choose that those saints will become so in love with you. Love from faith. Can't get enough of them. Just need them. I think about that time, you know, I sit there and just to think, praying to be at his feet, to be beside him, to be sitting with him, to how beautiful more and more that story becomes when John laid on his chest. To be that close. He's awesome. I wrote this, Jesus, you know, Jesus did not have the glorified body here when he was here. Really, if you look at this, and we see this in Scripture a lot of the times, that had they known who he was, or in their case, if the Jews could have seen who he was, they wouldn't have crucified him. If they could have known, Scripture tells us if they could have known the plan, knowing all this stuff, they would have never crucified him. To look at him, there was no outward sign that he was the Son of God. To look at you, to look at me, there is no outward sign that I'm a child of God. But I'm going to tell you, God was in him. God's in you. And that light starts to burn brighter, right? The glory of the sun. That's the glory, right? And that, you know, we talk about this too, because the church, a lot of places have become so liberal about this too, that it's like with our kids, right? The poor kids go play football and everybody gets a trophy. It's a participation trophy, right? If everybody got a crown, it'd be a participation crown. It's not. God has reserved that crown. God has reserved that crown for the helpmate for him to be enthroned. I love that letter to Philadelphia is just a beautiful proposal. I will give you my new name. It's only one relationship that happens in. Right? And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. You know what? Esau was that guy all of us would have liked. He's a man's man. Look at him. He's a great guy. Look at him with the stuff he can do. Come washing in with the meat, right? The venison that was going to, ooh, that's going to taste good. And Jacob, simple, dwelling in tents, perfectly content in the will of God. Just like Paul, right? Just like Jesus. Remember Jesus? He wasn't looking for big crowds. He wasn't looking for all the attention. Traveled to Samaria to talk to one woman. You know those guys? I mean, I think all the time the people that they actually got to be with them and walk with them. I think about the Old Testament faithful saints. You know, when it tells us that Scripture tells us that all of this has been hidden. We're so blessed to live in this age. We are so blessed to live in this age of grace where we can know and understand the mysteries of God. That we can know the wisdom of God in creation. We can know the wisdom of God, what he was doing. We can know the plan. We can know the mystery of that resurrection, the mystery of that bride, iniquity, godliness, right? The faith. The faith. We are so blessed to live in this age. But unless we know for sure that there's $10 million buried right there, we just ain't going to dig. It's right here, right? $10 million right there, 1 foot down. Everybody dig. Beyond comprehension, right here. Riches that can't be described. A glory in you. Why in the world would you not want to be glorified with him? Right here. And it's the same thing. All you got to do is dig, right? All you got to do is pick it up. All you got to do is say, Father, I want it. Seek, call, desire. God's not gonna fail you. I just want it, right? I just want to finish this course. trusting in you, Father, trusting in you, Lord, right? He'll complete it. He'll see it done in your life. I was thinking about this. We did a few years ago on some Sundays, and we were doing Paul and through all these missionary journeys. And I was thinking about it with this, with the flesh. You know, the elders will serve the younger. If you want to go to church, the flesh has to take the new creation, the new man there. Think about Paul. If you take all those miles, 2,500, 2,200, 1,900, all these journeys, that flesh would have been like this. Seriously? Another missionary journey? He'd have been dead tired. We don't want to go. I don't want to go. Please don't make me. We're going. Remember, stoned to death. Paul gets up. That flesh was like, I'm done. I quit. Stands up, says, let's go to Derby. Let's get going. Stands back up out of the ditch. That's the separation we need. That's how we need to treat this flesh. That's how that he's got to serve the new man. He's got to do what we say. But we gotta trust God. That's what it means yielding to the Holy Spirit, right? Letting the Holy Spirit make our choices. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Rebekah knew the mind of God. She saw this coming. He told her, the elder shall serve the younger. Remember how she was when Eliezer came, I will go. I don't even need my stuff. Let's go. Should we tell your family? Oh, yeah, let's go tell them. They asked the family, take her. Then they change their mind. That happened with my family. My family says, oh, you needed God in your life, son. I'm glad. Then I got to get a little too much God. And they're like, oh, you better just slow down a little bit. You don't need that. She did. She knew these same promises. She grasped it boldly. This is yours. Take it. Embrace it. These promises belong to you. God said it. Your crown, that crown is yours. God said it. But I think about those guys that are going through all that deception and everything. You imagine the anxiety that was going through poor Jacob. He's going to know. But it was his. That inheritance, this birthright here we're going to talk about. He says, and Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom, red. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. If you look up birthright, it says this. Any right or privilege to which a person is entitled to by birth. Look at that royal family, right? Guys, I mean, there's guys, it's like anyway, there's guys that come up through that thing, can't run anything. But it's theirs. Your birthright is to be enthroned with Jesus Christ. Your birthright is that crown. Your birthright is Jesus Christ himself, that I may win Christ. It's a birthright. An inheritance that can be yours through faith. Trusting, wanting, needing, can't wait for it. Believing, right? And knowing, just like Abraham, it says that Abraham embraced those promises, yet they were afar off, knowing that they were his. Your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? I'm going to tell you right now, that birthright does nothing for that old man. That birthright does nothing for that flesh. That flesh cannot be perfected before God. It's the spirit, it's that Jesus Christ in you. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Esau didn't believe it. It meant nothing to him. We get people that reject the whole, reject the salvation message because they don't believe it. How could God make a world like this? Not understanding nothing. But nobody will even give it a chance. We get saved saints across the world that don't want to pick this up. They'd just as soon it be there where everyone can see it. See that? Holy Bible. I have one in my house. It's Greek to me. I just heard that from a friend. I thought it was a classic. He said, they were talking to him. He said, well, because I had this picture of one of the girls at the church gave me this picture. And it has the elders with the crowns out in front of them. They're bowing down like this, right? And they said, what is that, Islamic? It's like Revelation 4. Oh! And it literally said, well, you know, it's Greek to me. I didn't know that. Man. Riches beyond measure. An inheritance that who? God. We can't even comprehend. And then we're worried about this light affliction, right? This light affliction is but for a moment. He didn't believe God, and this is the problem with the church today. We don't see the full spectrum, and I'm talking about the old body, right? We don't see the full spectrum of God's grace, that God's grace was step one at salvation, and it's step 100 at overcoming. It's step 100 at winning Christ, and every step in between that is God's grace. Grace upon grace, manifold grace, right? Every step is God's grace. And Jacob said, swear to me this day, because he takes this seriously. Swear to me this day, he says. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Wow. It's crazy. We're going to read this here. That God knew before, right? That there would have to be a supplanter, that there would have to be a redeemer, that there would have to be someone to take over this, that new man, that new Adam would come in here and take the place of the one that didn't want it, couldn't have it. Just thank God that Jesus Christ, the age we live in, that this has happened for us. That we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance now before us. And if we treat that birthright just like he did, that birthright, I want that. I'm taking that. And her in the story, Rebecca in the story, is that's yours. Go get it. I'm going to cover you in these skins. I'm going to put this stuff around you. You're going to go take that because it's yours. No one can rule with him conjointly if you believe your birthright to be worth pottage. I say chili in New Mexico. I'm from Colorado, so I know we have a lot of chili here too. No one can reign with him conjointly if you see that birthright as being worth pottage. Paul himself says it right here. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I want you to listen to this. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In Revelation chapter 7, it says, God shall wipe away the tears from their face. I remember when I was first, and it has been confirmed since then. But God poured revelation on me. I just saw it. And he kept telling me things and showing me things. And why would you have tears in heaven, right? I'm going to tell you something. My wife just showed me this yesterday, and just this quote. When the person you've become meets the person you could have been, the person you could have became, there'll be tears. When you see the loss, when the whole thing, just like him, just like Esau, listen to what he said. When he found no place of repentance, for when he should have inherited the blessing, and he wept bitterly. He had tears in it. I want that blessing. I'm going to tell you right now. Your flesh wants the favor of God. Can't have it. not going to get it. Esau wanted that so badly at that point. He's thinking, isn't there a blessing for me too? Can't you give me this too? If we go to the next chapter, we see this. He says, Father, please. What about me? Where have you been? I don't remember you ever picking that up. I don't remember you ever praying as I would have had you pray, right? I can't imagine the feeling of loss that would go through you, that you would see, that you would know when you see who you could have been in those elders, and you see who you could have been in Jesus Christ. God is taking Jesus' life and recreating it in you. He's transforming you. You're renewed daily. He just wants you to trust and keep going, right? He wants you to have that bridal boldness that says, that's mine. Nobody's taking it from me. When that gets tough, that's what I say, you got that crown in one hand right here, get that other hand and grab a hold of it. You get both hands on it. You hook that other one on something else. I'm not letting go. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe him. And just like Rebecca, just like Abraham, embrace the promises that are already yours. Don't beg for something that already belongs to you. Trust him. Believe him, right? I love you, saints, so much. I do. I love the fellowship. I love the holy kisses, the embraces. It's an amazing weekend. It's an amazing time. And it's an amazing age that we live in. God loves you. God wants you to finish this course. God wants you to embrace it. He wants you to grab a hold of it and not let go. It already belongs to you. Let's pray real quick. Father God, I pray today, Father. I just pray. I'm begging you, Father. I'm coming forward to you, and I just want you, Father, to bless every single person in here with spiritual revelation. Father, I want your strengthen us, Father, with your might. We can do all things, Father, through Christ. Father, I pray today that we identify with these natures. We make a clean line of separation, Father, and now from the steps forward, from whatever degree we're at, Father, from here on forward, that we make better choices. We start to identify this and know, Father, that old flesh in us, we just need to get away from it. And Father, to see that overcoming and this key to seeing that it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in us. And to know that new creation, that new man cannot sin because there's nothing, it's all holy and righteous with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the families here. I pray for the kids. I pray for, I just pray for blessing in everybody, Father. We've got health needs. We've got needs all over the place, Father. I just pray for everybody. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my God. Father, bless the rest of this day. I just pray for Brother Hines. He's just a beautiful saint, and I'm looking so forward to hearing him, Father, and for everybody that's come, Father, to get excited about this and on fire to hear the whole thing and go through it and just want to get closer to Jesus. So in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.